see. Everybody's excited. I think the students are excited. They don't have to go to school. The teachers are excited. They don't have to teach. So, yeah. Y'all are a little excited. Yeah. Yes. It should be on. I think they're just working on it back there. So, it's on up here. Can you hear me? Can you check 1, 2? All right. I don't know. Just turn it off. I'll yell. No, I'm kidding. All right. Let me get organized. All right, now I'm going to do my best. There we go. All right, I'm going to do my best to get done a little bit earlier. We, at the end of the service, we are going to have the specially called business meeting to call Mercy Freeman as our worship leader here at Westside. So Bobby will be coming in. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Looking forward to that. So we'll have that in the service. But I've also been threatened and told by the ladies who are cooking the food tonight, like, you better end early because I've got to go home and cook my meal or my casserole or whatever. So I'm like, okay. So I'm going to do my best to end a little bit sooner tonight so you can get and make all that amazing food that you guys do this afternoon. So, but it doesn't matter anyway. You're just going to get up and walk out no matter what, right? So, yeah, that's all right. But I'm glad you're here. Don't forget, just a couple things. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll meet across the street, and we're going to have our Thanksgiving feast with Westside, Myanmar, and Song of Psalms Church. We'll be all together. It's going to be a good crowd. We got everything set up. Oh, my goodness. Cheryl Leaker and the ladies have done an amazing job. Yeah. It looks awesome. Yeah. Yeah. It looks great. And when the food gets in there, it's going to smell great, and we're going to have a great time. But be here tonight. If you have not signed up, like, oh, I didn't know about that, please come tonight. Just come and join us. You're welcome to, you know, just enjoy the food. Come. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. If you want to bring something, you can see what many people are already bringing, but you can bring something. And if you just don't have anything and you just want to come tonight, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have fellowshipping and eating together. So just join us. 6 o'clock, it'll be across the street in our community center, so I hope you can make it there. Just a couple of little announcements just to remind you, next Sunday, I'll be out of town in the morning service, and I'm looking forward to, I wish I could be here, but I'm looking forward to hearing Devin will be preaching for you next morning, so come and support him, pray for him all week, and just looking forward to that. I thought, oh, that's kind of cool if we vote in Mercy today, you guys will just be knocking it out together, so pretty awesome, I will be here next Sunday night. Also, we'll have our 2024 budget preview if the finance team can get everything squared away. I'll say that. So next Sunday night, you'll see that in the bulletin there as well. So, all right. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're pushing a pause button on going through the book of Acts. Been going through Acts since April, really, this past year. But it's Thanksgiving time, and we're going to get into the Christmas season, so we're going to just push a pause button on the book of Acts for probably the rest of the year, and we'll pick it back up in January this coming year in 2024. That's just crazy to think about. But you know, this is the time we come to think about being thankful, right? It's, you know, often we know as Christians we should be thankful all throughout the year, but this is just a special time of the year, Thanksgiving, when we specifically think of things that, you know, we're thankful for, and we get together with family and we give thanks to God, hopefully, for the things that He has done for us, for our families, and through us, and because of who He is and what He's done in our life. But, you know, typically each sermon that you can preach, or if you're a teacher, when it comes to the message, there's always what we call application, right? How do I apply this to my life? How can I make this practical in my life? And there's really, here's the secret. If you're teaching Bible study, or if you're preaching, or whatever, there's always three different ways, three different areas that you can apply stuff to your life. No matter what you're hearing from the word or anything like that, it's our thoughts, the things we think about. It's what we say. It's our words. And then lastly, it's our actions, the things we do, right? And so anytime you're in a Bible study class or you're hearing a sermon or whatever, there's a ways we can break down kind of our response and what we need to do to it. So I've titled the message this morning, Thankful in Thought, Word, and Deed. And you'll see here from Colossians chapter 3 that Paul really hit each one of these, just these three verses. He talks about the way that the church here in Colossae, they can be thankful to God in these three different areas here. So we're going to look at it in thought and word and in actions this morning. We know, again, we know we're supposed to be thankful. It's a command from the Lord to be thankful. But sometimes, oftentimes, especially in our prayer life, the thankfulness gets pushed off to the side. And sometimes we automatically go to the Lord with our prayer, with our laundry list, right? Things, oh God, help me do this and give me this. And, you know, and we really should make sure that we're giving praise and thanks to the Lord as we go throughout things. So if you will, if you have your Bible, in honor of God's word, if you'll stand, we'll just read these three verses here. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thank you. You can have a seat. Amen. Three things I want to share with you this morning. There's an outline on the back of your bulletin. You can follow along, fill in the blanks if you want to. But three things about being thankful in thought, word, and deed this morning. Number one on your outline, thought. Outward righteousness brings inward peace and thanksgiving. Outward righteousness, we'll talk about what that big word means in just a minute. Outward righteousness brings inward peace and thanksgiving. Look at verse 15 there. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is the inward peace. You know, we all want peace, right? We talk about I jokingly was waving to somebody. I think it was Friday night. I said, Miss America wave, right? You know, that's what they always say, you know, their fancy wave. When the questions are asked to these pageant contestants, they're always, what would you like? World peace, right? We all want world peace. We want peace in Ukraine. We want peace in Israel. But I'm here to tell you this morning, this is not exactly the same peace that is. All right? The scripture says, let the peace of Christ, right? So first off, notice whose peace it is. It's the peace of Christ. It's not what someone else might call peace or what someone else might define as peace. And you say, what exactly is the peace of Christ? Well, I think Jesus said it best in John 14:27, when he's talking to his disciples. He had just told them he was going to go away, but he was going to send a helper to be there, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. And so in John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So Jesus made a distinction there. The peace of Christ, the peace that Jesus gives, it's not the same peace that the world has. Okay, it's not the same, Pastor John. What do you mean? Where are we going with this? And see, church, the peace that Christ gives us comes from being in a relationship with Christ. And it comes through the Holy Spirit, because he was just talking about that there in verse 14. you know, letting the peace of Christ come through that Holy Spirit and that relationship that we have. You might be here this morning and you might say, wait a minute, Pastor John, I'm a Christian. I have the Holy Spirit living in me, but I don't have peace. There's a lot going on in my life. And you might push back. And I say, okay, I understand that. But I want to challenge you with something a little bit. You might say, how come I don't have peace? Well, I think maybe for some of us, not all of us, maybe we need to back up and look at the verses just before this. Let me go back chapter 3, verse 5 here, and just read. Paul uses this great illustration here of, he uses the image of taking off clothes and putting on clothes. Right? Look in verse 5 here, read with me. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all these things, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self. There's that imagery of like exchanging clothing there. He says, which is being renewed in its knowledge and the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And then verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with each other, forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I think our church, hopefully, we're not fooling ourselves this morning or in our lives. If we think, oh man, I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got peace, but we're not clothing ourselves how God commands us and teaches us to clothe ourselves. If for whatever reason we think, man, I can have my Holy Spirit, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus, but I can still kind of straddle the fence and I'm gonna live like the world, I'm gonna talk like the world. I mean, all these things that Paul just named, anger, wrath, you know, licentiousness, all these things, and if we continue to live like that, do you really expect there to be peace within your life? I think we're only fooling ourselves. We might, man, well, man, I can have my eternal life. I can go to heaven. I believe in Jesus. But we can't continue to live like the world and expect God to give us peace. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to strive with our flesh. Those two things disagree, you know, vehemently. And so are you here this morning, Christians, someone who claims to follow Christ, but you're still trying to have it both ways, and you're trying to live like the world and talk like the world and do things, but there's going to be that lack of peace that's within you there. Paul says, clothe yourself with these things and put on these different traits, you know, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, peace, you know. And gosh, we could spend the whole hour on verse 13. Bearing your grievances with one another, forgive. If we're holding back forgiveness, do we expect God, you know, God to give us peace? Well, you just don't understand, Pastor, what that person did to me. I just can't forgive them. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you, God's word's telling us. When we don't clothe ourselves the way that God wants us to live, we're not going to have that peace that lives within us. And I don't know if there's somebody here today, maybe you think, you've got us all fooled. But let me tell you, you may have. I may look at you, oh man, that, you've got it all together. But God knows our hearts. And that strife, yeah, and the biggest thing is we can't fool ourselves. You know, we know. And I just want to plead with you this morning, if you are clothing yourself with something that is ungodly, that's not biblical, it's time to take that off this morning and put on the godly garments here of compassion and love and kindness and gentleness and all those things that Paul mentioned there, because that is the only way that you and I will be able to have that inner peace. When we live a life that's obedient to the Word of God, to Christ's teachings, then that peace will come. But if we're not doing that, there's going to be strife. And I hope you're not kidding yourself there. But as you see, that the outward righteousness really brings that inward peace. That's the first point there. The outward righteousness, the things that we do, the things that we live and act by, those acts of righteousness, right living, that's what brings that inner peace in our life. You know, I got my hair cut this Friday, right? It looks good, right? Okay, yeah. Don't you feel good when you get like a haircut? Or ladies, if you go to the salon, you get your hair did, or you know, you buy a new pair of shoes or a new outfit, right? I mean, don't you all feel that way? Everybody have like your favorite outfit you like to put on. Maybe that's for ladies. I don't know. Guys do that too. Anyway, you know. But you know, like, oh yeah, this is my thing. And you know, that outward change in our life or whatever, it does something to us internally, right? And you know, oh man, I got my hair cut. I look good. Whatever. You know, it's the same thing spiritually. When you and I live a godly life, it gives us that inward peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, because we're not striving against the Holy Spirit, we're striving with the Holy Spirit in our life. That's the most important thing there. And so my question this morning before we go to the next point is, are there things in our lives, church, that you and I need to take off? I mean, you can go back and read this afternoon, again, read through some of those traits, but that's just a short list. But is there anything in your life or in my life that we need to get rid of in order that we might have a inward peace with God's Spirit this morning? Is there something that we need to put on? One of these godly character traits there in verses 12 through 14 that Paul is commending us and encouraging us to, you know, put these on so that we might have that inner peace. And then he says, and be thankful. You know, when we have peace, it's easier to be thankful than when we don't. All right, number two on your outline, the Word, saturating in the Word of Christ cultivates gratitude in us. So saturating in the Word of Christ cultivates gratitude in us. Look at verse 16 again there. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I just want to stop on that one word right there, dwell. All right? This is not a temporary thing. If you think about a dwelling, it's like a house. It's a home. It's not like a tent. You know, many of the Israelites were nomadic, and they, you know, were shepherds, and they moved around with the flock. Only a few. Many, you know, had homes in the cities and the towns, but think about that. To dwell, it's not just something quick or temporary. Paul says, dwell, let the word of Christ dwell in us, fully saturated, if you will. It's like the food. Many of you go home tonight or this afternoon, you're going to prep food, right? You know, I know when I like to grill out, I cook on the grill, I like to marinate my steaks or my chicken or whatever in different juices and seasonings and flavors, right? We want that to like get in there because it adds to the flavor. And pray for my turkey. Right now, it's cooking right now in the oven. I've never cooked a turkey before. I took a lot of advice from Jamie and some others, Sharon and some others. So I hope. So if it's not good, anyway, it's my fault. So if you get a turkey that's messed up, that's probably mine. But cover it with salt and pepper and butter and just, you know, let that seasoning just marinate in that turkey, right? And that's what Paul says here for us. Let the word of Christ dwell in us. We've talked in our discipleship class on Sunday nights, we talked about how we take in the Bible, and there's all these different ways. We've talked about reading the Bible, hearing the Bible, memorizing Scripture, studying Scripture. There's so many ways that we can meditate on Scripture, all these ways that we can intake the Bible. But here in verse 16, Paul gives us two specific other ways that you and I can marinate, if you will, or we can saturate in the word of Christ, all right? And these are pretty cool. Both of these are, I would call them like external practices there. You see, number one is discipleship, all right? He says, teach and admonish there. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Do you know when you teach the word of God, when you're a Bible study teacher, you will grow so much in your faith because you're all week long, you're studying that passage that you're going to teach to your pupils, to your fellow students, right? And you're like taking in knowledge. There is so much that you're absorbing, you're reading, you're studying, and probably most of what you share with the class, you don't have time to like tell everything, right? You are growing because you're just learning personally there. And so I want to challenge you. Some of you may be here this morning and you're like, I don't know if God wants me to be a teacher. And you're praying about that. I want to tell you, if you'll say, all right, Lord, I'm gonna serve, I'm gonna teach this class, or I'm gonna help, I'm gonna be an assistant teacher. God will use that to grow you and stretch you, but it will be a good thing too, and you will learn. But notice there that it says teach and admonish there. There is kind of like the positive and the negative there. Teaching is, you know, is, I think of as the positive trait there. We're learning about the Word of God. But what does it mean to admonish? That's almost like to correct someone, to say, well, you've had this belief, but actually the Bible teaches this. And so part of letting the word of Christ dwell in us is teaching other people by, you know, expressing that knowledge that we learn, but it's also correcting people and say, hey, you know, I heard you say this, what do you mean by that? And we have a discussion, we get in that, we talk about proper theology. The things, you know, a lot of people say, oh, theology is not important. Theology is important because what you believe determines how you live, right? And if we have improper theology and we don't believe the right things, then we're going to act differently. So teaching and admonishing there, Paul says. But then secondly, look at verse 16 there. This is another way that we can let the word of Christ dwell within us. He says, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. Another way that you and I can let the word of Christ dwell within us is through worship. When we come to worship the Lord, you know, many, many, many songs are worship, and you know, it's just an expression of the Scriptures. You know, one of our core values at Westside is that we have Christ-centered worship. There's a lot of songs out there that we could sing, but I don't, you know, there's some good songs, but I want to stay away from songs that point to me as I'm singing. I'm the one that's supposed to glorify and worship the Lord. We talk about songs of how we feel. Oh, I feel this, and I mean some decent songs. But I think the best kind of worship that you and I can sing and have is worship songs that are biblical, that speak of the Scriptures, but also are Christ-focused, that give Him glory and honor. And that's one thing that we will strive here at Westside to continue to do. Amen. But So as we let the word of Christ dwell within us, yes, we can study it, we can read it, we can memorize it, we can meditate on God's word. But I want to encourage you, there's a second way that we can let the word of Christ dwell in us, and that is through teaching, through helping other people. Decide, even if you're saying, well, I want to teach, but there's not a class for me to teach. You know, you can do some one-on-one discipleship. You can grab somebody and say, hey, you want to meet together, grab lunch, and just the two of us talk about something and in the word, and maybe God just connects you with somebody that you feel like you can mentor. That is a great way for you to let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. And then secondly, we let the word of God dwell within us richly through worship. Are we taking the time, church, to spend time in worship? Guys, I know this is a struggle. You know, some I'm too cool. I don't like to sing. I understand that. But are we worshiping the Lord somehow, some way, in our own ways? When we used to have the school here, the church would do chapel, 130 students here, and it'd be interesting. We get up here and start doing some worship songs. Many of the girls would be singing, probably only about three or four of the guys. The guys would be, you can't make me sing. Yeah, no, I can't make you sing. But do we express worship to God somehow? Or are we giving God praise? That might be a struggle for some of us guys, you know. But how are you and I saturating ourselves? How are we marinating in the Word of God currently? Are we reading it? Are we spending time in worship? Are we perhaps maybe God's encouraging, nudging us to be teaching or mentoring someone? You know, a lot of the Christian radio stations. Right now they start playing Christmas music right through the rest of the year, right? I've noticed many of them do this like 30-day challenge thing, right? They try to encourage listeners who have listened to their Christmas music through Christmas and New Year's. They say, hey, instead of going back to your other radio stations, stick with us for 30 days and see if the Christian music that we're playing helps you or changes you or helps your attitude. And they offer this challenge out to the listeners, right? And that's true because it works. You know, when we marinate, if we saturate in the Word of God through song, that's just going to get into us. It's the old adage, right? Garbage in, garbage out. What are you and I listening to? What are we putting into our ears? What are we putting into our eyes? What are we looking at? What kind of shows are we watching on Netflix? Are we saturating in the Word of God like we should be? Are we allowing the Word of God to dwell? Or again, are we perhaps trying to fool ourselves? Oh, I can come to church on Sunday morning, and that's the only time we ever open up the Word of God. Are we in the Word? Are we in the Bible? Are we listening? Are we studying throughout the week? It's good that you're here at church, just hearing the Word of God in Bible study, but you will not grow as quickly and as you should if you're not spending that time in the Word of God throughout the week, too. So I just want to challenge you with that. And thirdly here, lastly, so we've talked about thought, and word, and now finally deed. Actions done for the Lord are an expression of our thanks to God. Actions done for the Lord are an expression for our thanks to God. Paul basically summed up this whole section there about the putting on the clothes, taking off all that, and here in just this last verse 17, he says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, word or deed. So there's our actions and our words there. So, and he says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This means, you know, he says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's that word, Lord Jesus. What does that mean? This is just the title. The word Lord means that he is Almighty God, and I like to use the word boss. The Lord is boss of our life. He gets control. He gets say-so on what I do and what I say and how I think. He's the one that helps correct my thoughts, my words, my actions. So if whatever we do, we're doing it saying, okay, God, you're boss, you're control. You have say in what my words are at my job or at school. If I'm going to tell this joke or not tell this joke. If I'm going to use this language or not use that language. Or if I'm going to go here and partake in this or that, whatever. You know, that's what it means for the Lord to be Lord of our life. And then he ends up there, verse 17, he says, giving thanks to God there. He says, giving thanks to the God, the Father through him. Everything we do ought to be, Christ is, he's our purpose and he's the primary reason why we do what we do. I know that seems contrary. We think, wait a minute, I have to look out for myself because the world is not looking out for me. The world will chew us up and spit us out. So I have to look out for me and my family. But Christ challenges us, church. Everything that we do, I know it's contrary to our flesh and our desires. We do it for the Lord and for him. And here's the thing, because God knows best and he created us, when we put him first and we whatever we do, whatever we say, when we put him first, guess what? It doesn't mean we're going to have the perfect life, the perfect marriage, perfect kids, perfect parents, but it does mean that things will go better for us. Because God has designed us to live a certain way. And when we step out of that, that's when things, again, going back to that inner peace, that's when we start losing that inner peace, when we start doing things on our own. But if you and I will put Christ as Lord and say, God, I'm going to do everything for your glory, to obey you, to follow you, all those other things in our life, somehow, I can't explain it other than to tell you that it's a God thing. They line up. Again, I'm not saying everything's perfect. I'm not saying that. But things will go better for you and I when we do that. And here's the thing about this three verses, these passages here, the thoughts, our words, and our deeds. It's like it's cyclical. Did you remember the first point? If we want that inner peace in our thoughts, we have to live right. We have to put on the things of God. And it just kind of continues. It cycles back and forth. And if you're here this morning and you don't have any kind of inner peace in your life, I just want to challenge you and encourage you, implore you. The first thing you ought to do is take some time to examine your life. Is there anything in my life that I'm living that is not biblical, that is against the word of God in my life? I want to challenge you to take those things off and put on the word of Christ and put on these things that Paul talked about and slowly let that peace start to come into your life and then let it just dwell in the word of God and as you been, but it starts somewhere, right? And it's a cyclical thing that will just continue. But as we come to a close this morning, maybe there's somebody here who you're striving, you're looking for peace. And maybe you're trying to find it in all different areas. Maybe you think, man, if I can just get the right relationship with this person, then everything will be good. Maybe you think, I'm looking for I just need this job to make this amount of money so that I can provide for my family and make everything that I have. Maybe you're looking for peace that way. Maybe you're looking for peace through pleasure. Maybe you think that, man, just jumping straight into the things that are not good, but might feel good for the moment, drugs or alcohol or some other substances, pornography. Those things might give pleasure in the moment. but it wears off, and then there's still the problem there. If you're here this morning and you're looking for peace, and you're like, man, I know if I just do this, I'm waving my hands. Let me tell you, the only way that I have found peace, you know, we look at so many of the celebrities, right? So many of these celebrities, these football athletes, that they make it to the top of their game, and they still lack peace, don't they? They think, if I could just make enough money, if I could get enough fame. And I think they missed it. The only way that you and I can find true peace, church, is in a relationship with Christ. And it's by giving up and saying, God, I surrender. I'm coming to you. I want to give you my life. I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to give you my life. And I, to my best of my ability, I want to follow you and what your word teaches in my life. If that's you today, and you're ready to come to Christ, and if you're ready to stop trying to do it on your own, can I help you this morning by just saying a simple prayer? And I just ask everybody, if you would just close your eyes, bow your heads, nobody looking around. If you're here this morning and you want that inner peace so that you can truly be thankful this Thanksgiving for what the Lord has done in your life, if that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you to tell the Lord, and you can do that through a simple prayer. Say something like this to God. Say, Dear God, I'm tired of living my life for myself. And today, God, I'm coming to you. God, I believe that you love me. I believe that Jesus came to die on the cross for my sins. Today, God, I'm coming to you and asking you to forgive me my sins. Help me to place my faith and trust in you. Help me to follow and surrender my life to you as Lord. Come into my life. Give me eternal life. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus' name. Amen. In a minute, we're going to have an invitation time. The worship team's going to come back and just sing one more song. This is just our opportunity to respond to maybe what the Lord is doing in our hearts or our minds this morning. If you prayed that prayer today and you ask the Lord to come into your life, would you have the courage to come out and just shake my hand and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. I asked Christ to come into my life. Now what? I just want to help you in your next steps as you follow Christ. I'm not going to make you make a speech or anything like that. I'll just walk through you sometime over the next week of how you can grow in your new faith with Christ. Christians, maybe you've already made that decision. You've trusted Christ. But are you here this morning and you're trying to live one foot in the world and one foot in salvation and you have no peace? I just want to plead with you this morning, stop trying to do that. Stop trying to fight against the Holy Spirit, because he's going to win. There's no way that we can win. If there's something that you and I need to do this morning, if we need to clean up something in our life, if we say, God, I need to repent of having this in my life, I pray that we'll do it this morning. That is the only way that we'll have that inner peace. Maybe God's impressing you this morning that you just need to dwell more in the Word of God. You need to spend more time in the Word of God. Let it dwell in you richly, as it said in the Scripture this morning. The altar is open. You can come down here and pray. You can make a decision right in the pew where you're at. But if you want somebody to pray for you, we'd be glad to pray for you down here. If you want to come forward and express that you prayed and received Christ today, we'd love to celebrate with you and just talk about how you can grow in your new faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us, that you would help us this morning. If whatever you put on our heart, may we be obedient to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stand up. You want to pray? welcome to come down. If you feel like Westside is the place where you need to plant your church membership, we'd love to receive you and to be a part of our ministry here at Westside. But come on, let the altars open this morning.
Thank you for the cross.
For us, Lord, you gave your life, your perfect life for our sin, Lord. Thank you for this time of worship that we've had this morning, Lord. I pray that we'll continue to think about the things we've heard, things that we've sung this morning, Lord. That you will not just let this be a message that goes in one ear and goes out the other, Lord. Help us to apply the things that we've heard and learned in our lives, God. Help us to change our thoughts, to change our words, to change our actions, our deeds. Lord, now as we come and we give our tithes and offerings, Lord, we just thank you for being an amazing God who has provided for our church. Lord, what the testimonies we could share. Lord, I am thankful for your faithful people here at Westside who have continued to support the church, support the missions and the ministries here. Lord, we are grateful to them and ultimately to you, God. Be with those who give now and pray that you bless them, bless their offering, and use it for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.